Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's good and his mercy endures forever. All the highest praise to him. Glory to God. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen. So we can live victorious in him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is a year to live victorious in him. This is a year to take advantage of everything that he's done for us, that we can turn a lost and dying world to the things of righteousness, to the things of promoting Jesus and people coming to a saving knowledge of him. Why? Because that's the life that this world needs. This is the salvation that is in the heart of every man that the Bible talks about. And it's waiting on our participation to minister the word. And this is a challenge to myself too, coming into this year, because when's the last time you got someone saved? When's the last time you ministered the word of God to someone? I'm not talking. See, this is, let me preach to myself here this morning, because, you know, we can get sometimes so ingrained in our daily activities and routines that, yes, you pray. Yes, you read your Bible. Yes, you love the Lord. Yes, you attend church. But when's the last time someone was on your heart and you actually ministered the word of God to them? When's the last time you actually prayed with someone to get them born again? You know what I mean? And this is a challenge to me too, because, you know, hey, I got a daily activity and routine that I do. You know, in my line of work, I don't see, if I see a couple people a day in the course of my rounds, that's a lot of people for me. So it's not like I'm, you know, in contact with everybody. But how about we be sensitive to those things? How about we be sensitive to the leading of the Lord? How about we petition him to say, Father, send someone across my path that I can minister the truth unto them. And you'd be shocked how many people come up and you talk to them and they'll be like, you know what, man, I've been going through this. Oh, I'm looking forward to 2023 because last year, oh yeah, let me tell you how I got through, because yes, there were some things that tried to trip me up. But let me tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me tell you about his goodness. And when you start going with that mentality, that's how we start changing a world. And I remember there was a statistic years ago, and I believe I read it in an article one time, that there was probably, I think on average, now I'm talking, this is the body of Christ. This is people that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And in those statistics on doing polls, that it was in the 90th percentile. I think it was greater than even 90% of all Christians in the body of Christ have never led one person to the Lord. Have never led. Praise God, you're praying for them. Praise God, you're setting an example through living your life for Christ. Praise God that everybody knows you're sold out to Jesus. But let's get in a position where we can witness to someone in the course of our day with that kingdom first mindset and get them born again. I want to be part of that 90th percentile on a continuous basis. It's good that you love Jesus, and it's good that you live a good life, and it's good that you are blessed, and those are God's highest and best things for you. But people don't know you on an intimate level like your family and your friends. They don't know you even in a church setting like this. They know you're a good person, but they don't know why you're a good person. They know that you lived hell on earth, but they don't know how you got to the other side of that. So it's our responsibility to say, there's one reason and one reason alone that my feet are standing right here today, and that's because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to be that testimony, because who else is going to tell them? People that don't know? The only thing that you hear coming out of their mouth is JC and GD, and that's the closest they come to even acknowledging our Lord and Savior. So don't expect them to be a good testimony. You need to take your life and how you've been living that's brought you to this place right now, that's your testimony. Nothing more has to be done for you than what Jesus has already done for everybody. When I overcome this trial, when I overcome this circumstance, when I overcome this, that'll platform me to a place where I can be an effective witness. No. Because he died 2,000 years ago, that's the only shout and praise you need to tell someone that they need to get born again. That's it. He's done it. I wish I could say that somehow my testimony was a pat on Jesus's back like I've been hanging. None of that. One reason and one reason alone, there was a man that came and lived a sinless, perfect life, and he died and rose again and paid the price for all of mankind. Tell me, Mr. Heathen, do you know that? Nothing in and of myself merits praise, because every testimony is accredited to him. There's nothing I wish I could gain some merit on something I've done, amen. We all try to do good works and things to accommodate our salvation, but we need to bring it to the next level to be an effective witness. We need to position ourselves to give him all the praise and glory and be available to start ministering to other people that are on our radar. Have you taken the time? And I know, it's a very unselfish thing to start believing for other people, because after all, I got my own junk I'm dealing with. I know it's a very unselfish thing to spend some time in prayer for somebody else. I know it is. I know it's a discipline sometimes, because it says to love your enemies when you feel like drop kicking them across the world 3 times, but you got to pray and believe God for them. Oh yeah. And by the way, let me just put a disclaimer. For those that are visiting, I'm Pastor Brad Hofert. I'm the associate pastor. Pastor Tim is not here today, and so he had asked me to minister, so I'm glad you're here. But praise God, the last time I ministered, I had a testimony. So how many times have I ministered up in here? Probably many times. You know, sometimes, and I'm not looking for any praise. I'm not looking for any criticism, especially no criticism. Dear Lord, I criticize myself. Amen. But, you know, you throw in there where I almost get in a fight. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, I couldn't get back Quick Fill. You know, you started saying you got in that scuffle with that guy Quick Fill. I couldn't get beyond that part. I was hoping that you would elaborate a little bit more. I'm like, I almost got in a fight with a guy. You know, there's no praise or testimony there. So to everybody, In the last couple of weeks since I ministered last time, I haven't fought anybody. I haven't even fought them in my head that I'm aware of. Amen. No one cut me off or anything. No one got out of the vehicle cussing me up and down just because I'm trying to put gasoline in my vehicle. So let's just drop the suspense right there. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's a very unselfish thing to start believing God for other people. But we need to be sensitive to opportunities, because you'd be shocked if you give people an opportunity to talk. I'll tell you, I've been going through this, and I dealt with this, and oh, I had a loved one pass away, and now I had this, and it opens up an opportunity to win them for Jesus Christ. You know, preach the goodness of the word of God. And I'm telling you, you know, it's like, well, you know, that puts me in an awkward position. And I'm talking to all you right now. This isn't a comfortable thing to be up in front of how many hundreds of people in public speak, let alone at Wegmans or Walmart or the gas station, especially not the gas station, but you know, in places of work and stuff like that. You know, but we have to be sensitive. Father, give me an opportunity. Well, what do I say? Just tell them the goodness of God. And if you've sat here for any length of time, you know exactly how to lead someone through the sinner's prayer to accept Jesus as their Lord. Pastor does it. We're going to do it here today at the end of service to be able to pray and have people accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. So I'm believing for a big harvest to come in this area and region, but that's not coming through Pastor Tim. You know, that's not coming through just a couple of the faithful leadership in the area. That's a body. That's a body issue, a body concern, where we all have our part to play to be good ministers. You know, I quoted in that prayer in Ephesians 4:11, and it says, to be equipped, he's given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. And so, you know, I remember one minister came in one time and he says, you think it's pastor's job to do your job because you're the ones that are equipped for the work of the ministry. He's given that fivefold office, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the perfecting of the saints for the work in the ministry. So the work of the ministry is not the pastor alone, the apostle alone. It's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So the whole time you thought it was pastor's job to get everybody born again and lead a great revival. No, 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 no. It's an opportunity to equip ourselves for the work of the ministry. So that's why I decide to pay attention in church. That's why I decide to participate in church, because I want to be equipped. I want to be fit for the master's use. Amen. Fit for the task. You know, no marathon runner or Olympian or anything like that, they never just took the off season off and got up and went immediately to the Olympics. There was an equipping to be effective. It's just common sense to me. I don't know about you, but you need stamina and strength to run a marathon. Don't ask me to run a marathon. I know there's runners that are up in here and stuff like that. Don't ask this guy to run a marathon. I might press a few weights or something like that, but I'll tell you, as far as running, man, you know, walking from the back of the parking lot, coming in here sometimes like, oh dear Lord, that holiday, you know, you start getting, it's like, man, seems like, I got some cinching up I got to do, I'll tell you, because it seems like I've done nothing but eat for like the last solid week and a half, you know, through these holidays. So it's time to buckle down. But how much more spiritually? We need to take the responsibility of being equipped so we can be effective. Amen. We want to reach a lost and dying world, but that's going to take something from us. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen. That's all free, no charge. So glory to God. I got some things I want to share with you here this morning. And I ministered a couple weeks ago, and I ministered eventually on praise and worship. But the first point that I had made was we need to answer it. So turn with me over there to Mark chapter 11. And this should be a staple verse for, you know, how faith works, the God kind of faith. You can't listen or hear this enough. But I'll say it again, and it goes in line with what I've just been speaking, that if you don't speak, if you don't answer things, who will? And through the course of this world and the distraction and the somewhat crippling effects of the economy, and I'm not saying for everyone, and obviously we're of a new family in a new economy of the kingdom of heaven, but it's tried to silence the voice of the body. There's very little per se, if you look at the news and you look at the war and you look at the weather and you look at everything, I'm trying to find some praise. I'm trying to find some admiration. I'm trying to dig deep to come up with something, because it seems like 24/7 I've been on defense. I've been getting hit down and clobbered. I want to gain strides, but I'm only taking inches in my walk with God. Sometimes it seems I'm stationary or even going backwards. I try to pray. I try to read. I try to be a witness. I try to do these things, and I'm getting very little progress and little effort moving forward. There's been a lot of things that have tried to hinder, demonic attack to hinder the prayer life, to hinder the reading of the Word of God, to try to be a good witness, to try to, you know, separate ourselves to be alone with God because we're so busy. And so because sometimes we don't adequately feel the most spiritual, I'm just going to seclude myself a little bit until I can get to the right place with God where my voice might be able to be heard. I know I haven't been, you know, hanging the moon spiritually, so to speak. I know that, you know, it's been some time since I've had that burning zeal and fire on the inside of me. So I'll just coast. I know what I got to do. I just can't do it. I know I need to pray. I just can't really do it right now. So when I get to that place, I'll start speaking and start saying, because that will merit some attention with the Heavenly Father. And that's not right. Your standing with God is right because He made you right through Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, there is a reaping and a sowing. Yes, there is a consequence of disobedience. Yes, there is a place of, you know, where you've reaped or you've sowed into certain areas. And yes, you're walking through what you're reaping now because of those wrong decisions. I'm not dismissing that. But when it becomes a lifestyle of unworthiness to stand before the Lord, all of a sudden, I hope this might work if I say something. And you have to understand your authority as the born-again believer. You have to understand that you are his only ticket down here to establish heaven on earth. He is not getting off the throne on your behalf. He's given you everything that you already need to be victorious in this life and win those around you to Jesus. So we need to focus not on my insufficiencies and failures as a human being, but on the victories that he's established, and have my mindset on what he's done that I can walk in the fullness of those things. I want to make an impact. I want to make a difference in these things in this world. I want to be a great tool and a great witness that we can win many to salvation. Amen? So you have to understand some of these processes. And in what I want to minister, if I put a sermon title on this, it would be to speak your authority. Because this world's trying to keep you silent. This world, and I'll tell you, how do you know? Look at the agenda of the world. Watch the news. It's all everything that is anti-God. Anti-God through the abortion, through the people that don't even know what they are now sexually. And kids, parents are cool with their kids waiting until they're 18. Well, I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl yet. Are you a fish? You're not? How do you know? Because I don't have gills and I don't swim in water. How do you not know you're a boy or a girl then? You know, there's certain things that's like, you know, it's so anti-God, and it's just blasphemy to God. It's just a display. So that's what I'm saying. Everything in this world will try to silence you through promoting an agenda. And until the born-again believer stands up and stands in their place, nothing's going to get done. Someone's got to stand up and say by the word of God, no, that is not correct. And this is why it's not a correct, it's an abomination to God. You need to take your position in your place. Start with your family. Start with those that are in your closest proximity. And then let's work on out. You know what I mean? So praise the Lord. Mark 11 in verse 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came to it, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So then we pick it up in verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remember and saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, or have faith as God has it. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So Jesus, you know that we've ministered along these lines before. At the time of leaves on a fig tree, there should be fruit. And Jesus went there happy. And something changed his mind because a curse came out of his mouth. He showed up to a place of lack, and he says, no man will eat fruit of thee hereafter. The first thing he did was answer it. Now, how ridiculous does that look for the Son of God to answer a fruit tree? But there was something that was out of place that needed addressing. In other words, had he not said anything about it, there would have been many others that would have gone up with that same need, and it would not have been fulfilled because he didn't speak to it. How dare God get a bad reputation that what he created isn't producing fruit? So Jesus said, no man's going to eat fruit here from you hereafter. And he cursed that thing and put a curse on it. The disciples went by and said, that thing's dried up. That's right, it's dried up. How dare my heavenly Father take a bad rap because this cursed ground with this cursed tree that is an example of lack, it's not going to speak of my heavenly Father. It's not going to give a testimony of lack provision, you know, lack of provision, want, need. Someone's hungry. Dare someone show up to this tree again and run into the same thing I did. So Jesus said, I'm going to take it upon myself. There's no fruit on that tree, cursed, and no one's going to eat from you hereafter. And the disciples heard it. So they came, and the next day they showed up, and they were dumbfounded. What you said worked. That's right. He said, have faith of God, have the faith of God. And he goes on to explain, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he says. People aren't missing it in their believing. Good old Brother Hagin. You know, when Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, got the revelation on this, which, you know, I don't know how many servants, just about every one, he ministered Mark 11:23 because it was dynamic revelation to him. But you can see in that verse that there's three times the saying is believing. People believe, they don't say anything. People believe, they don't say anything. They need to say three times, have three times the saying as they do the believing. Jesus believed something and he said it. And he said to his disciples, he said, have the faith of God. This is how it works. You need to say something. They were dumbfounded because they never heard anyone say something to a tree before. He says, yeah, that's where you all are missing it. You believe that I'm the Son of God. You've seen the signs, wonders, and miracles. But here's a position, or here's a tree of lack, and I addressed it, and you guys are dumbfounded. He says, you guys, you disciples, especially you, because you've been walking with me, you have the faith of God. So you need to start saying something to something. You want movement in your life? Better start saying something. In verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I ministered. You need to say those things and then praise God. You don't keep asking God to do something. He heard you. Your faith rejoices in what you've believed that you've received. So you need to say and speak on what you believe. Don't believe just alone. You know, we read the Bible, we believe, but you need to say and speak something. And that is the faith of God. And then when you speak, believe that you receive and then thank him for it. Thank you, Father, that all my needs are met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you. I'm out of debt. My needs are met. There's plenty more to put in store. You know, I'm just using finances. What do you need? Healing in your body. Do you need, you know, you're believing God for your family. You're believing God for any kind of medical condition. Whatever you're believing God, you need to start speaking because your voice and what you say and believing that you receive those things has to work its way in the process. There's something. Nothing will be done to it until you say so. Well, I thought God was going to come down. I thought Jesus was going to come down and handle this for you. Nope. He already did 2,000 years ago. You know, and many people are believing for God to do something that he's already done. God save me. God save me. I did 2,023 years ago when Jesus came and died. Oh, well, I didn't know. That's the problem. You didn't know. And so now that you know that it's already in place, believe that you receive and rejoice him for it. God, heal me. God, heal me. I did 2,023 years ago when Jesus died. Well, I'm not healed. Yes, you are, because Jesus died 2,023 years ago. You may not know it. You may not feel like it, but the price has already been paid, waiting on you to say something. What do you believe in God for? Start speaking. I'm telling you, this is the biggest thing. This is the biggest thing right now. Through distractions, through the uneasiness of your mind, through the trials and tribulation, the last thing you want to do is say something. But you need to start opening your mouth because God has put you in this position right here and right now to make a difference. Amen. I'm not coming over to your house. I'll come over to your house. I'll put my faith in agreement with you. But when it comes to you, you're your greatest advocate. You take the word of God and you do it. It's time to man up, y'all. You know, how many, and this is, again, let me preach to myself. How many years are we going to fix us? How many years are we going to go around the same mountain fixing us? Nothing changed, nothing happening. I dare say it's probably because you need to start saying some things. You got to sow change to reap change. You know, what do they say? The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You want to see something? You want to see something, guys? Let me show you something. There's certain laws in effect. You want to see something? I know this is going to rock you right now. You want to see something? I got a book right here. It says, what's my next step? You want to see something? Oh! There was a law that went into place. It's called gravity. Doesn't matter who you are. If you jump off this stage, you're hitting this ground. Doesn't matter if you're a believer, unbeliever. Doesn't matter if you're white, black, Asian, whatever other nationality might be present. Doesn't matter who you are. When there's a law in effect, it works. Jesus was giving the law of speaking and believing that you receive when he's speaking faith. He says, have the faith of God. This is how it works. If it were something different, I'd tell you something different. I would tell you how to do something different. But he's like, you need to say something. So that's what I say. Whoever gets wrapped up in, well, I don't believe in the law of gravity. I supersede the law of gravity. Oh yeah? There it is right there. That's the law of gravity. There's a law that goes into effect. And when you work the law of faith in your life, there will be an effect. It will work. So we need to participate in that. And so that's what he's going on to say. I'm telling you. We need to start opening our mouths and start believing those things that we are saying. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4 for a verse. And this is what I ministered on a couple weeks ago, but it was just, it's where I've been the last couple weeks in some things. And we're going to look at some examples of these. Romans 4:17, as it is written, talking about Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, and even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Can you bring that up for me in the Amplified? It says, I have written, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existing things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. He goes back to those things that he had already pre-told, prescribed, pre-expounded on, pre-promised. He went back to that and he called those things that be not as though they were. He spoke the non-existent things as though they already existed. So when Jesus, even in today's age, we look back 2023 years ago and we see that by his stripes we are healed. When you begin to say those things, we're speaking into existence those things that were already pre-told that would come through Jesus. And we're beginning to call those things that be not as though they were. You have to take with your faith's eyes and your faith mind and start believing God for his promises, whatever you're needing in life, and start speaking those things that be not as though they were. I thank you that health is moving in the members of my body. I thank you that longevity is moving in my body. I thank you that sound-mindedness is moving in my mind, that I have the mind of Christ, and I praise you for it. And it's everything contrary to that. Everything contrary is what you might be experiencing. But until you open your mouth and start saying those things, Abraham was 75 years old. He never had Isaac till he was 100. So he had to change his name. So he began to speak and speak and speak every time, father of many nations. Every time he heard his name was a remembrance of speaking those things that be not as though they were, till there was the manifestation of the promise. Had he not spoke, had he not had his name changed, that every time he came in proximity with all his people, it was now Abraham. So Abraham was a multi-billionaire at this time. Abraham was a multi-billionaire. God's not against money. It's the love of money that'll cripple you. Ask the world. Ask the world. But what I'm saying is Abraham at that time had multiple herds, multiple flocks, multiple business. He had his own army. He went and busted Lot out with his own personal army, Abraham. So he was a multi-billionaire through the business and settings that he had. And so everyone on a daily basis, Abraham, Abraham, father of many nations, father of many nations. Yeah, right. I'm not feeling like the father of many nations every time someone, Abraham, father of many nations, father of many nations. Hey, father of many nations, can you come here so I can talk with you? On a consistent basis, out of the words of everyone around, we're recognizing the things that be not. Because they were calling him the father of many nations well before Sarah conceived and gave birth to a son. So for 25 years, he had to, I don't feel like it, I don't believe it. Sarah was laughing in God's face when she found out that she was going to have a son. And through their lineage was going to be you and me and all the nations of the earth and the blessing that comes attached to it. For 25 years, he had to start hearing it and being in proximity. How long will it take for you? I don't know. It was 25 years for him. But I'm saying there's got to be a start of you hearing and you saying something. apart from God's promises, if they stay in the Bible, that's where they'll stay, in the Bible. When you start taking the word of God and start speaking it out of your mouth, that's when the activity begins. That's when things start moving to get you to a place where you believe what you say will come to pass and you will have it. For 25 years, he heard nothing but Father of Nations. Hey, Father of Nations. Hey, Father of many nations, come over here. I need to talk to you for a second. Hey, thank you, Father of many nations. Father of many nations, what are you doing this weekend? Father of many nations, Happy New Year. Whatever it is, but he needs to be consistently having that. You're gonna put in priority. And I'm not saying that, you know, some people are in different severe tribulation that you're going through, undoubtedly. Some people are believing God for a miracle. If you make God the highest and best and make him the center of your focus and give an all-out effort to that, you watch what happens. Praise God for miracles. Praise God. But it's a matter of the greatest kind of faith. Hey, I'm all about men of God that have endowments to kill cancer, have endowments, healing things that they can lay on of hands. Yes, yes. The anointing breaks the yoke. You know, get in proximity, with ministers and special meetings and stuff like that. God's highest and best and greatest way is you yourself taking the word of God. Father, this is what you said. And because you said it, this is what I'm saying. And you start taking your position in authority. Amen. And where do we want to go here today? I'm gonna jump right over there to Luke chapter 10. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. I want you to get a hold of something. I love this passage here. We need to start speaking something, but it's up to you. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. There's something about the hungry one. There's something about, hey, I've exhausted every other option naturally. Now my 100% effort is applied to this. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? There's a prime example of one. She said for 14 years? How many ever years that she was believing God? And it says she grew none better but grew worse. And she had exhausted all her resources on many physicians. In other words, I've been up and down, walking all over this medical field. And it's left me worse and broke because now my resources have been exhausted. It started as a medical condition and it ended up in my pocketbook and now I'm sick and broke. But she said, a woman with marked garments per se as an outcast as being unclean because she had an issue of blood. She was unclean and had to separate herself from society. If she tried to get within society in the general public, there could be heavy consequences, possibly even death. So there were certain restrictions that because of her condition that she never wanted, never, you know, sidestepped somehow one way or another, she got this issue of blood on the inside of her. And so now she has no social status. She's been isolated, separated from the general population. But when she heard of Jesus, she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And it said that she pressed through the crowd. And she touched the hem of his garment. Jesus turned around. He said, who touched me? And the disciples are like, duh. Everybody touched you. There's thousands here. But someone touched him with faith. And he turned around and he saw that woman. He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. He said, go, be whole of thy plague. Here's a woman with a death sentence. She's exhausted every option. She's sick, broke, and an outcast. The ditch is your bed. The other side of the tracks is your bed. That's where you're from. Her social status was nothing. Probably can't even get a like on Facebook. But she said, if I can touch his garment, I'll be whole. The healing power of the Heavenly Father became greater to her than the sickness, the brokenness. For she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. You watch. And the death sentence was that she pressed through the crowd, knowing her uncleanness condition. And Jesus said, the same Jesus that said, have the God kind of faith. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. In a sense, Jesus saying, daughter, how you showed up here is what made you whole. In a sense, daughter, Jesus could know by the Holy Ghost where you've been, what you've been through, the life that you've lived for the last 14 years. Somehow, in the midst of your hell on earth, faith rose up. Somehow, in the midst of your dead self, something rose up on the inside of you that brought you here to this position to grab hold of my garment. Somehow, the hearing of me walking by and of the miracles that had been done, became greater to you than your crippled position. And the reason I know this is because action took its course when you were pressing. Everybody else here has touched me. You touched me in faith. And how you showed up when you brought yourself to that position of finality where it's God or nothing, virtue left my body and went into yours. And he said, girl, you did this. I didn't do this. Heaven didn't do this. Your faith did this, obviously, yes. The healing anointing and healing power of virtue left Jesus' body. It was there present. You can't take something that's not there. But when that took finality on the inside of her, she said, whatever price I gotta pay, whatever life they try to take from me, what is my life? What do I have to lose? Death, thank you. Thank you. 14 years, I'm broke, I'm crippled, I'm a social misfit. They're gonna kill me? Where do we need to be in our lives? And I'm not saying that you have to have a testimony of the woman of the issue blood to find God. But I'm saying it has to start somewhere in the process of faith where you've decided that it's the word of God or nothing. When you've decided that whatever circumstance you're dealing with and going through, it's got to be the word of God. And if I give myself 100% to it, he's faithful and just to see me through the end of this thing. We need to make that decision, like that woman of the issue of blood, that I'm so hungry for this, that there's nothing else that'll satisfy me. There's no distraction. There's no time lapse to be spent. I'm on a mission here to see the finality of what I've been believing God for. That's the difference with this woman. That is our difference, too. And it's interesting because we have our authority that we need to implement here on earth. That, yes, there are many different issues that we deal with and go through. Some of it is demonic, some of it is not. You know, there is a price for disobedience. You know, and I believe it's either 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, you know, for not discerning the Lord's body. Many are weak, sickly, and die premature. There's consequences for not even discerning the Lord's body correctly, and two applications there. But The Christian has to realize they're waiting God. And I, through my course of day, I listen to the radio some. I'll listen to like K-Love. I'll listen, it's a Christian radio, like Family Life and stuff like that. Some of that, you got to chew the hay, spit the sticks kind of a thing. Because there was one commentator on, and I love the dude. He's actually really good. He's a really good speaker, and I love some of his stuff. But you have to understand the word, because he was like, he had a mom or a dad, and this isn't an attack on anybody. And they had like lupus or cancer or something like that, or a sickness, and it's just in this particular thing. He's like, well, I prayed the Lord to heal her, and he didn't. And I'm like, but he did. He did. 2023 years ago when Jesus died, he paid the price for sickness and disease. Well, she still died. I know, I'm not sympathetic towards the loss of a loved one, but it doesn't negate the fact that he still died as much for your salvation as healing and prosperity and everything else. And it's like, well, I was believing God to save me and he didn't. No, he did. 2023 years ago when he died on the cross, that's when he saved you. You didn't come to a knowledge of it till now, maybe, but it's already in place, and it's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with your prosperity and provision. Those things are in place. And so we know that there's causes. You know, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But I want to share with you something here, and this is, I love this passage in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start right there in verse 17. Look what this passage says. And I love this. And the 70 returned again with joy. So here Jesus sent out disciples to minister and do the work of the kingdom of God. And so they went out through the city and the region, and they were ministering the glad tidings, the good news. And they come back. And in verse 17 is where we're picking it up. And it said, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Because Jesus said, use my name, cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick. You know, greatly you've received, greatly give, or freely you receive, freely give. You know, we have principle that's in place. So he sent them out. And so the disciples, they came back. And they're like, Jesus, they came back with joy. They said, even the devils are subject to your name. They were like, man, we just hung the moon, man. We've been casting out demons. We've been casting out devils. They've been leaving body. And they're jumping for joy. They returned back with joy. And this is what Jesus said. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus told the disciples one thing. He said, they came back full of joy. They just cast out devils. He's like, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. When? Yesterday? No. In however years passed prior, when Satan was a pride bag and thought he could exalt his throne above God. And Jesus said, I was there. And I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Your revelation is something that I've known the whole time. You're rejoicing in a byproduct of what's already been established. And he says in verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He says in verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So they come back and they're excited because they've just cast out devils. And Jesus said, I was there. I saw when the devil fell to the earth. He has always been marked as the fallen, defeated, destroyed one. He says, if you want to rejoice, he says, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice in the fact that heaven recognizes you. Don't rejoice because these lower level defeated works on earth are something spectacular to you. See the perspective change. He says, if you want to rejoice in something, Rejoice that heaven didn't know you and now does. Because in heaven, the defeat of the evil one, the fallen one, is already understood. The defeat of sickness and disease is already understood. The defeat of poverty and lack is already understood. The defeat of depression, anxiety, is already understood. Don't rejoice in that fact. Rejoice in the fact that you're recognized by heaven and take your rightful place there. Jesus said, yeah, I saw the devil fall. That's an odd answer. They came back, even the devils are subject to your name. I beheld Satan as one who falls like lightning from heaven. That's a weird answer. He's saying, I was there thousands and thousands of years ago. I'm an eyewitness to this. I'm here so that you can have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't rejoice in the devil and all that mess. Rejoice in the word that I'm living and establishing as reality right now. So when I die, know that your name is written in heaven. And when I die, I'm going somewhere and I'm going to sit down and I'm giving you all the authority to handle business here on earth. Don't rejoice at the devil and that you finally told him to get out, get off, get up, get down, get lost, get a job. You rejoice in the fact that you are now of the family of the kingdom of God and that your name is recognized in heaven by your heavenly Father. There's your focus. There's your gaze on that. Amen. Glory to God. If you bring up for me Matthew chapter 18, 18 through 20, you don't have to turn there, but if you'll bring it up on the overhead. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's talking of says, hey, heaven's got your back. What are you going to do about it? Whatever you permit, whatever you don't permit, heaven will recognize you and your authority in what you say. What you permit and what you say will come to pass. That's what will come to pass. Believe those things. So many Christians are believing God for what he's already given to you. No, 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 no. He's already paid that price. You step in the fullness by speaking the words out of your mouth so you can establish it here on earth. But I love that with those disciples. They came back with joy, praise God, because they're beginning to recognize, and I'm not diminishing the learning. They didn't know. They said, hey, we're saying your name and demons are fleeing. Jesus said, yeah, happened 1,000 years ago. Not as in a whoop-de-doo, but it's like, I was there. It's your revelation now is what I've already known from thousands of years ago. What revelation do you need that is already known in the mind of our Heavenly Father? What price are you willing to pay to get there? What price are you willing to pay to be a good disciple and steward of what he's given to us through Jesus? I'm telling you, this is the days and the times where it's our turn, it's our job, where we have to stand up and move forward with the things of God. We need to have the voice back in this earth because every other voice is coming up with a different agenda. And I'll tell you, the course of this world is getting louder and louder. And if we don't have a voice of truth in this, deal with the consequences of it then, because he's given us the authority to make the difference. If we're not taking our position and our place, then here comes the course of the world. You know, and that's been, you know, the biggest attack. And the last number of times I've been ministering is because of the distractions with everything. And I'm telling you, with all the social media and the devices and stuff, and everybody's so buried into their phones, that it's crippled the body of Christ in this generation. Because now it's all, I can do everything on my phone. I mean, like, and praise God for convenience. Praise God for, you know, taking advantages of apps and stuff like that to do things. But basically, like, you don't even need to talk to anyone at the grocery store. You can do it. They'll pull it right out of there. You just back your car up and hit the trunk button. They throw it in there. See you later. All the, you know, Walmart, like I go, we go to Walmart, they got like maybe one or two registers open, then it's all the, hey, I don't need to talk to anybody, I don't need to see anyone, I don't have to have social interaction with anybody, I can just do my thing, scan my stuff, go out and be done. If I need something, I don't need to go to the store, I don't need to do anything, I can order right here, Amazon, you know, you could do the Amazon, you can go online, doing the eBaying, getting some, finding some good deals and stuff. You don't have to go to a store anymore. You don't have to, interact with people, you know, and so there's the isolation where the body of Christ, and so this generation is being raised. Yeah, our kids, too, they have tablets where they're playing racing games on there, and they're watching cartoons and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the point where it's all that, and then they're socially misfitted, when God's given us or put us in that position of taking our authority in this world and talking and ministering to people, they're going to be like, what do I do? Like, is there an app for this? Can I hit a button and show it to someone to get them saved? No, there's got to be a loving on people. There's got to be an interaction. And this world is trying to isolate so many people because I don't have to go out and do anything. I can do it all with the power of my phone right here in my hand, that I don't need to talk to anybody and I don't need to socialize and communicate. How are you going to witness to people if you're not out there with them? How are you going to, you know, come in contact with people if, you know, maybe your workplace? But I'm saying, like, if people aren't going out and everyone's to themselves anyway, you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. I get out to pump my gas at Quick Fill, and a dude comes out vulgarity, going, ripping me up and down because I'm blocking his spot. But that's the course of this world. It's all about me. It's all about my selfishness. My world is right here in my hand. You know, anything I want, don't infringe on me. Don't talk to me. I won't talk to you. Let's just keep it at that. I'll just keep myself at home. If I got to go out, I don't want to talk to anyone. If I need something, I'll scan it myself, bag it myself, and leave. I don't need to talk to anybody. That's the course of this world. And I'm telling you, we got to break out of these things. We got to break out of these things so we can talk to somebody. If we can smile, tell them have a good day. Say, hey, you know, do this. Hey, here's 50 bucks for you. You see someone at Walmart. Hey, this is 50 bucks. I just wanted to bless you. You know why? Because Jesus loves you. You know, I had it. This is, I'm not trying to get weird and stuff like that, but when I was, there's been times too where we've even been together and I'd be like, man, the Lord's told me to give him 20 bucks. Feel like a dork, man. Feel so awkward doing that. There was a guy and I'd be like, you always fight it. And it's 20 bucks. What's 20 bucks? You know? And so, sir, you know, and here I'm, it's like, sir, you know, just wanted to give this to you. You know, you're just looking to just go and dive under a car somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't, it's so awkward to do it, but it's hearing the voice of the Heavenly Father and responding to those things. That's what it is. And I don't even know. And I used to struggle, and this is, and here's where it's the whole weird, because obviously anyone that knows my testimony, I come from the granola section or granola religion, the nutty, fruity, and flaky, where everything's the devil. You know, I was a prophet to the nations when I was like 20 years old. Pastor Michael ruined my ministry. So I was a part of that camp and everything, you know. And I would try to, I'm like, man, I'm going to give this dude money. And I remember one time I was actually delivering in a job, and I'm like, I'm going to bless this dude. And I think he might have even been homeless. I don't know. I'm going to give him 20 bucks or whatever. And I'm like, man, I got to come up with something good. Oh man, I gotta come up with something good. Verily, the Lord would have you know that, you know, this life isn't for you, and he's got, you know, all this other stuff. And the Lord corrected me. He's like, just tell him I love him. It's like, well, that ain't gonna work. Let me come up with something else, you know. You know, and so you would think that you gotta come up with some kind of elaborate approach to be respectable and diplomatic to someone. And maybe the Lord would lead you to do that. I'm not saying. But sometimes it's like, hey, the Lord loves you. He wants you to have this. And if it is giving, if it's whatever, hey, do you need me to help you out? Do you need me to, like, when we had that blizzard, it's like, man, those carts wouldn't push through the parking lot. You need me to get that for you? You want me to push that to your car for you, plow it through the snow and stuff? Whatever. It's like, hey, just looking to be a blessing. God's given me so much. He's been such a blessing in my life. I'm happy that I could do this. You know, whatever the case, you don't have to be profound in sharing and expressing God's love. Just got to do something. just got to do something. Get out of our own selfish rut to the point where we recognize other people. Oh, there are other humans in this world that need Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's our jobs, our responsibilities. Amen. I don't know if you got anything here tonight. I know we went in a couple different directions, but God's got so much for you. You got to have that hunger. What are you believing God for? Amen. Your faith can go and grab hold of that. Amen. Use your authority here in this earth because you are God's representatives as his family here on earth. He's not getting up. He seated you with him in heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that he quickened you or made you alive. He raised you up and seated you together with him. That's your position of authority that you can rule and reign as a king in this life. Amen. Glory to God. We got a job to do. We got work to do. We need to get people born again. We want to be in that statistic of, you know, the small percent of leading people to Christ. We're believing that number is going to change. We don't want to be a part of that 90% that has never led anyone to the Lord. God loves you. You know, he's given us so much. He sent his only son that it's right and fitting for us to share that gospel with others. And that's it, plain and simple. He loves us and he loves them. He loves us, he loves them. Let's make them aware of his goodness and his love. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We glorify you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you've given us authority. That, Father, we can make the difference in the lives of many people through the goodness that you sent through your son, Jesus. That, Father, it's not some elaborate speech. It's not some elaborate approach, but just an expression of your love towards other people. That, Father, as we enter into this new year, that whatever adjustments that we need to make in our lives personally to further your kingdom and to be kingdom-minded, Father, we just purpose in our hearts to make those adjustments. That this wouldn't be another year of distraction, of status quo, but this would be a year of harvest. This would be a year of many coming in to the kingdom of God through a saving knowledge of you. That we recognize, Father, the price that you paid because of your love for us. And Father, we just give you the praise and the glory for it. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody in an attitude of prayer, no one's looking around. Maybe you're here today and you can even hear a message like this and you're like, man, I've never been to a church that even ministers or preaches like this or along these lines. But you need to know what the very first step is with the Lord. Let me just tell you that he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die to pay the price for your sin. Just like I took that book and I dropped it, and gravity, the law of gravity, took over. There is a law of sowing and reaping. And when you're born naturally into this world and you live a life apart from God, sin is your nature, and there's only one destination for that, and that is a place called hell. God sent no one to hell. Hell is a place that we're all going until we receive the gift of Jesus Christ. That's why God did something about it through sending his son, Jesus. God sends no one to hell. We're already going to hell unless we accept Jesus as our Lord. And I always want to say this when I'm ministering. I never want to minister not give an opportunity for someone to get born again. Maybe you're here today. You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's so simple. And I always ask everybody, if you knew that today was the last day on earth, if you knew that you were going to die today and leave this earth, do you know 100% that you would go to heaven? And if your answer is, well, I sure hope so, or maybe, I'm telling you, be sure. Know that you are born again. It's so simple. In Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, God loved you so much that there was only one price and one sacrifice that could take that sin from your life, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he did. So all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord, and that's what gets you born again. In Romans 10:13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anybody is welcome to accept Jesus and have what the Bible calls eternal life. With all heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, I promise you this, I'm not gonna embarrass anybody. I'm not gonna have anybody stand up. I'm not gonna have anyone come forward. I'm not gonna have you speak to anybody or anything like that. But right there in your seat, all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm gonna ask you to do one thing so I can see you. I'm just gonna ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And we'll all pray together as a congregation. And right there in your seat, you can accept Jesus as your Lord. Is there anyone here today that's never made Jesus their Lord and Savior, and today's the day you want to do that? Can I just see your hand? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to? Don't let this opportunity pass by if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord. Is there anyone else that needs to accept Jesus with an uplifted hand? I'll have you put it right back down. Is there anyone else? I don't see any hands. Other hands. For the one that lifted their hand, I'm going to pray this prayer. Everybody in this congregation is going to pray after me. So just speak these words out of your mouth. The Lord will heal you, hear you, and you will be born again. Everyone go ahead, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. And today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you that you died on a cross and rose again so that I can be saved. I'll live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God, praise the Lord. Well, did anyone get anything out of service today? Amen, I'm just believing and trusting this is gonna be a good year. We got our part to do, amen. We got our marching orders. You know, we wanna be effective witnesses for his goodness and for his kingdom, amen. Why don't we go ahead and give him some praise. Won't you stand with me to your feet? Let's just love on him for a minute before we leave. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you for your goodness. We leave change here today. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.